Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I could just sit down. It's good to be with you today. God's peace be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. By the power of the Holy Spirit who calls us into faith in that Christ, our Redeemer, and all that that means. And even now, we are the redeemed, the purchased people of God in Him. Amen. We're going to spend some time today in that episode. I don't like calling Scripture stories. The story has gotten a bad rap because stories could either be true or not true, right? I mean, I could tell you some stories. And they may or may not be true. But when we take a look at Scripture, when we spend time in the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for our teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be equipped for every good deed, every good work. So we want to trust God's Word today. And as we take a look at this section of Scripture from Genesis chapter 14, it's not just a story in Scripture, it is an episode of God at work among and through His people in spite of themselves. Amen? So this whole idea of Redeemer, as we as you all are walking through this epic of Eden, I have the privilege of journeying with you these couple of weeks here, sharing the message on Sunday morning and also leading a small group on Sunday morning. And I think we could probably fit a few more folks in that room. And if not, we can expand. Make it a large group study instead of a small group study. That's okay. But that whole idea of Redeemer, or redemption that we're looking at today in advance of our journey through Scripture this next week, as you go through the readings that are assigned, you can pick one of those up, a reading list on the credenza in the back, the Welcome Center. I want to take a look at this episode of Abraham redeeming his nephew, Lot. So again, just to review the story very quickly, Lot and Abraham have separated company because their flocks are too large, and Abraham says, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And so Lot picks, and he goes, and he ends up hanging out in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where he's living at the time. That whole Sodom and Gomorrah story where fire and brimstone come down, that's a couple chapters later. So just, you know, hold that thought. That'll show up. Don't worry about it. But here, he's just moved. They've just separated. And there's some tribal kings that come together and they say, let's go take what we can. So they go and they take over. They take over Sodom and Gomorrah. They conquer them there. And they take with them and as possessions, the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 11, and all their food, and they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew, Lot, and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. And it's like, you want to be careful whose stuff you take. Because God's hand of blessing is on whom? Abram. And Lot is connected to Abram. So someone escapes and tells Abram the situation. So Abram gets his guys together, 318 trained men, trained for battle, and they pursue. And they overtake them, and at night, they take back. And in verse 16, it says, he, that is Abram and his men, recovered all the goods and brought them back, his relative Lot and his possession, together with the women and the other people. The word, therefore, recovered is what we're going to understand as our word redeemed. He recovered. Now, redeemed has kind of gotten kind of a cheap name for itself in our culture, in our society. My wife redeems coupons. How many of you redeem coupons? Okay, God bless you, that's fine. That's not the idea of redeemed. It costs you nothing to cut that out, I'm just saying. Or maybe you redeem a rebate. I go to Menards, man, I buy stuff at Menards and I get a rebate, 11% rebate, right? And then I get this little thing in the mail. If you send it to Wisconsin, God's country, they'll send you back a rebate, 11% of what you purchased, and then I take that back and I do what? I redeem the rebate. And I'm thinking, why don't they just take that 11% off instead of, you know, just saying. And sometimes I realize I can't afford to save that much money. So that whole idea of redeeming, has kind of lost its, you know, what's that? Or maybe you want to redeem the time. That means that it seems as though time has been, quote, wasted, and you want to do what? Redeem it. You want to make it worth something. Or you know that somebody in your life that kind of was just a mess in your world, okay? You don't want to speak ill of them, but you know, all things being equal, you'd rather not spend that much time with them. But they have some redeeming qualities. What does that mean? It means that they're not a complete suction on society, I guess. But they somehow have some redeeming qualities. There's something to be salvaged. There's something to be salvaged. I like to do a little bit of cooking, and I'll put some things together, and I don't always follow a recipe because that's like a lot of detail. And I realize, I taste it, and I'm thinking, I need to redeem this. I need to salvage this somehow. Can I help you, friends? That idea of salvaging is not what Scripture talks about when it talks about that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have not been salvaged. There's not just something about you that he said, well, let's try and bring some value out of this mess called Rob Casper. No, he's redeemed the whole person. He is maybe a better word would be rescued at great cost, at great risk. He rescues. He restores back into the family of God at great cost because you were in enemy hands and now he's redeemed you. He's purchased you back. Maybe a better picture would also be to pay the ransom price. He has ransomed you and brought you back into the family of God because you were sold as slaves into sin and Satan and death and the fear of death. And now in Jesus Christ, he has redeemed you. So as we think about that concept of redeeming, let's look at our story here where it said, our story, our episode from Scripture. Because it's true. The episodes from Scripture, what is it about this episode that we can learn about how God redeems you and me in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Lot was absolutely powerless to defend himself. That's one truth, right? The second one is he made some foolish decisions, perhaps, hanging out where? In Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's like the rest of the story, so we'll just set that aside. But he made a decision. Abram said, hey, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. He saw this nice green pasture over here for his flocks, and so he took that way. Lot did. And Abram went the other way. So sometimes our own decisions gets us into some messes. Any got an amen? All right. And God redeems those too. He doesn't salvage them. He actually redeems us and brings us back into his family. And we're powerless to save ourselves, to deliver ourselves. And it's not about stuff. It's about people. Lot was a person. And restored into the family, into the Bet Av, the family of Abraham, protected by him. We have a heavenly Father who in great love and mercy created us, yes, and sin has separated us from Him, and we've been enslaved to sin and death and Satan and the fear of death. We have no way out, and yet God in His mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price, to redeem us, to purchase us back, not to salvage us, but to bring us back fully and completely into the family of God and to receive also His great inheritance with all the saints, Paul says. We've been given all those things. That's what Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 3 when he says this. Now, he's just throwing everybody under the bus in chapter 3, okay? Paul is basically saying, you know, you think you're okay? No, you're a mess. He says, now, the whole world, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Listen in. There is no difference, for all have what? See, you know the scriptures. All have sinned. All have sinned and therefore fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace, by God's undeserved love, through the, there's our word, redemption, the purchase price, the ransom, the rescue, the ransom, the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you know what this is? As Luther's Small Catechism with its explanation, I'm just thinking about this, and the second article of the Creed, we're going to confess the Apostles' Creed after I get done yapping my lips, okay? And the second article of the Creed, and I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, etc., etc., etc. Do you believe that? What does this mean? Here's what Luther writes. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. All right? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father. Okay, born of the Virgin Mary is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His what? Holy, precious blood. And with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom, or if you will, His what? His family, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Yaman, this is most certainly true. And that section that says, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, comes straight from Scripture also, in the letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. He saved us not with, you know, He purchased us with the blood shed of Jesus Christ. His own blood. So friends, when you think of the word redeemed, it's not about a coupon. Okay? It's not about a rebate. Don't cheapen it that way. It's not about you're somehow salvaged. God is redeemed. He scooped up the whole person, you completely, in His Son Jesus Christ. And the wonderful message is that you and I have the privilege of speaking into a world of people who feel like they can't even be salvaged. Or they don't think they can be salvaged. Or they don't think they need to be salvaged. But God says, I redeem you too. We have the privilege of sharing with them the wonderful good news of a God who loves them. Do you know that God loves you and sent His Son to die for you, to scoop you up and to redeem you, to purchase you back, to bring you into His family again? He did. Who's redeemed you recently? Who has spoken a word of forgiveness to you recently? To whom might you speak a word of forgiveness in the name of Jesus, that they would be redeemed, brought back into the family of faith with you? I don't know. I look at this. I do know. I look at this 14th chapter of Genesis and the episode of Lot being captured and Abram going after them. And that would make a great action flick, wouldn't it? Yeah. Which came first? All of the action movies about redemption, all the action movies about deliverance, all the action movies about rescue, all the action movies about paying a great price and sacrifice, which came first? The movies or God's act of grace as displayed in the Scriptures? Friends, as you read novels, as you read, watch movies or whatever, watch for that. It's almost like even those who are outside of faith in Christ and outside of the church cannot escape the powerful reality of this message of redemption at great cost, risk, and all that's wrapped up in Jesus for you. Amen? Amen. Please stand with me. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have redeemed us. You've sent your Son Jesus to pay the price. You've sent him to not just salvage something out of your creation, but you have sent him to completely deliver us, to bring us back into the family of God, that we might call you Abba, Father, and know that we have a place in your eternal home, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done in purchasing us in your Son Jesus. You brought us back. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, keep our eyes focused on Him. May we call on His name. May we recognize the great freedom that we have in Jesus. The great freedom we have to live as your people, in your family, and to invite still others and tell them the good news that their redemption has come. It's given freely in the Son, Jesus. We thank you. I pray your blessing upon us. In His name, amen.